What's going on, people? What's going on, people? Man, it is the Heavy Hitters Live. We're coming to you on a very grateful Wednesday night. I'm your host, Six Man K Styles, as always. We got the Senator Palpatine to my stage left, Mad Mike Sports. And at the bottom of the screen, we got the Summer Hill Nightmare, the Don, right below me.
It's showtime, folks.
Boy, that's
Victor's
a
potent
trouble.
Victor's Valiant, Conquering Heroes. I
don't know. And we have the residential minister, the calm before the storm, Mr. Jew Talk Sports is in the
building. Good, because I'm gonna need him to bless this tea right here. Can you bless the tea real quick, minister?
Yeah, bless the tea.
Bless the tea.
All right, thanks.
I ain't got no teacup, but I got a thermos over there.
Good.
All right,
we're good.
All right, man. Hey, man. Hey, look. It's a beautiful day, man. Had a good. Hey, look. Let's go ahead and get into it, man. But Mike, how do we start these shows? We got three words for them.
It's a real.
And today's roll call is going to be sponsored to you by the DJ. Hit the music. I'm about to say, boy, you about to get your ass fired over there. All right. But today's shout out, we got Bubba Gump, Big Ant, we got Auntie Pam in the building, YMOF Jamal, Georgia Texas Boy, we got Leo in the building, Gemini Man, Brian Peoples, Jay Holland, About Whatever, we got the real Michael Walker in the building, JB, Sonya Howe, and my girl Sonya, we got
hey, I gotta get this right quick. Sorry.
Man, y'all get off of me, man. Come on, shit. The Don got his camera on, Mike.
They wanna see the Don. They wanna see the man behind.
They wanna see you like
look,
that, man.
I'm oldest. Ain't nobody come to see me.
Get the fuck up out of here.
Y'all come to get the form. Y'all come to get the form, not to come see me. But I appreciate it, though.
He showing off that national championship. Exactly. He showing you what he was doing.
You ain't worth a damn, boy. You scared night. Old Chicken Holler. Forrest Miller. We got Strapped Up 24. D. Sloan. Jarvis Williams. Jarvis said, Don look like Yogi Bear.
I look like Yogi Bear? Really? Y'all trying to roll tonight, bro. Don't let me fire everybody up in the chat.
Oh, man. Hey, man. Hey, John St. Clair, appreciate you coming in, man. I know John St. Clair was the MVP last night. He had a roast fest last night.
Woo, boy, Don was on fire.
All right. Cut it. All right. Now, let's go ahead and get right into it, as we already know what the major news is for tonight. As of the breaking NFL news, is Jim Harbaugh will not be the Atlanta Falcons head coach. As you've already heard, he has accepted his position as the LA Chargers head coach. Fellas, I want you to go ahead and give us your thoughts on that.
I guess I'll start, since I know more about Jim Harbaugh than anybody else in this on the panel.
Let
me tell you something. I know a lot of people thinking like, hi, they lost their coach. Look, I knew it was coming for him to leave. I just thought it had to be in a perfect storm for him to go. I did think a couple of weeks ago, a week ago, that he wasn't going to leave Michigan because I thought Michigan was going to put an offer on the table that he can't refuse. However, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. And also, his wife is from California. And if you look at everywhere Jim coached, he always coached in the state of California. Coached at San Diego after his playing career. He coached at Stanford. He left Stanford to go to the 49ers. And he left the 49ers to come back to his alma mater, University of Michigan. And he won us a national championship this year. I can't be mad. As a Michigan fan, I'm not upset that he left. He left the university. He left the program. Great. You know, it was in shambles before he got there. Everybody can agree to that. We was horrible. We was a laughing stock of college football. And I'm not even going to bring up all the events that losing to Appalachian State, losing to South Carolina, Jadeveon Clowney in the Capital One Bowl, all of that. You know, all that's beyond, you know, it's in the rear view, been in the rear view. But yeah, like, he has his quarterback there in Justin Herbert for the Chargers. He got connections. It's speculation that he's going to bring Jesse Minter, the defense coordinator for the Michigan Wolverines. He's going to take him with him. So, but we have the talent. I feel like we still going to be in a good spot. Sharon Moore, man, won four games with last year as an interim head coach. So you got to give him the head coaching job in Michigan. So that's why I said I'm not worried as a Michigan fan. Like, I think we're going to be fine. Now, what does it look like for the Atlanta Falcons? Because we did interview Jim. I know a lot of Falcons fans are upset that we didn't get Jim Harbaugh. I told people that he was not coming here to Atlanta. He was just not. I know, yes, we have a loaded roster of talent, but he doesn't have ties to Atlanta. He doesn't have ties to the state. Like, I just didn't think he was coming here. And I think, honestly, the front office did not want him to come here. Like, you got to literally give him pretty much, not even just a Brinks truck, but total control of the draft, free agent signings, all that. And I just feel like we know every kiss begins with McKay looking ass.
Wrong there.
You know, which one we talking about? We talking about the katana kiss of death, or are we talking about the Melina version of the kiss of death?
Were you talking about take off the mask and?
But that's where we at right now. Like, so I just think we weren't in the position to get a Jim Harbaugh. The man went to Los Angeles, got an interview with the Chargers, and he stayed down there. That man been house hunting the whole time down there. So, hey, it is, like I said, it is what it is. I'm not upset as a Michigan fan. I'm definitely not upset as a Falcons fan that we didn't get him. So we're good. Like I said, we got our natty. You know, I'm happy.
Okay. All right, Drew, man. How you want to take this?
What you thinking about this? Yeah, man. I wanted Jim Harbaugh to be our head coach, but like, I knew he was leaving Michigan just for the mere fact that he had nothing else to prove. Like, he won the national championship. He brought them back to prominence. They at the top of the mountain. Once you kind of do that, it's like he wants to get a Super Bowl. He was really close with the 49ers. It's not a lot of coaches that can say they won a national championship and a Super Bowl. As far as him going with the Chargers, I really feel like Justin Herbert had a huge reason he chose that job. Don did mention that his wife is from California, so that's another reason. And you got to just think about it. California is just like one of those places. Nothing against Atlanta, but California is just different. Sunny all the time, no rain. I mean, you got to think about it. You know,
he never rains in Southern California.
Right. You just like you in Hollywood. So I really seen that coming. As far as once they said that he hadn't, you know, they hadn't heard anything, I said they holding that man hostage. They not gonna let him leave without a contract, to be honest. And I really think that they're trying to get the most out of Justin Herbert, because what has been being said about Justin Herbert? the dude is underachieving. Like, yeah, he's super talented, uber talented, but he's not disciplined. And that's something that Jim Harbaugh, I really think
he's going to get that. He definitely get that.
He'll be able to help him kind of develop because he's a former quarterback. And every quarterback he's pretty much worked with has had success. The Colin Kaepernicks, mm-hmm. McCarthy at Michigan, you know, so he's one of those guys that's going to build him up from the ground up. He's going to work with him, get those fundamentals right. And I really feel like I'm actually happy for Justin Herbert because I feel like the last coach that they had, he was a defensive-minded coach. So he really didn't have that guy. As we talked about Desmond Ridder last year, really not having somebody that could help develop him. The same thing was going on there in L.A. with the Chargers. Your head coach is a defensive-minded guy. So it's like, who was really there working with Herbert? You know, they didn't really have that guy that could really help him. Yeah, they had Kellen Moore, who they got from the- But, you know what I'm saying? So at this point, I really feel like I seen it coming. When they said he was with the Chargers, like interviewing before the Falcons, I said, they not going to let that man out the door without a contract. Similar to what I said with the Falcons last year with Calais Campbell. When they said he was visiting, I said, lock the doors until he signed a contract, till he signed on the dotted line. As my son come in the room.
little man said he won't see what's going on.
You can't come in and not say nothing. Say something, boy. What's happening?
Good one, man.
Say what's up to the people.
Adonis, what's up, bro?
I see T-Rex.
You see T-Rex?
We you don't want, let's talk about football. Let's talk. You don't want to talk about football?
I do want to talk about football.
Say Jim Harbaugh.
Okay. We know you're not shy. Don't try to act shy because I hear you in the background all the time.
I will actually say go blue, but I know your dad's an Auburn fan, so I ain't gonna be disrespectful.
Oh boy. Go blue.
All right.
He's more than this man done. Don't do that to him.
Hey. Come on, man. Tell him where you.
I'm gonna let Mike take it from there.
All right. He don't care and stole the show. Adonis don't care and stole the show.
All right. But Dirty Bird said, I guess we'll get Ben Johnson slower than Matt McDonald. According to the news, Ben Johnson is out of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I hear, Ben Johnson is closing on a deal with the Washington Commanders. As far as what that means for Airbnb, I'm gonna just be as nice as I possibly can be. Okay, so
hold on, man.
Yeah, so it's blessed. All right, I know God bless this. All right, the minister
bless
this.
Bless it.
So if that end up, if that definitely be is the case as far as Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson being the head coach of the Washington Commanders, man, I think it is it's closing on a matter of, just to be honest, I just don't think Airbnb is any good. When you look at Ben Johnson anyway,
God, people you ain't shit for that.
Look, I'm trying to be nice, man. Everybody say I'm so mean, but
let the people say Airbnb is only gonna be good if he get Justin Fields and he comes to Atlanta. He'll be on God mode.
He said, what'd you say? He don't have to win. They don't have to have another winning season. That's what you're saying by being on God mode.
All they gotta do is show up in the parking lot of Magic City. That's all they gotta do. That's all some of these fans care about.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. See, I would
video or something. I don't know.
See, I wasn't even that disrespectful. Okay, I wasn't even that disrespectful. That's disrespectful right there.
You know, I don't fight with gloves on, so you.
bare knuckles. But
that's done right now.
I forgot what the hell I was gonna say. Yeah, I think
No, Jarvis, we're not doing that. I'm not taking Airbnb at Georgia Tech. No, we ain't doing that. I ain't doing that.
Y'all, bitch, that's disrespectful right there. That's disrespectful. I ain't having that. That's definitely not.
We not doing
just
that.
Just got a bowl bid and won.
Yeah, no. We don't need Tech going backwards. That's not happening. Okay?
No, we need to be going forward.
And yes, I said we because I do support Georgia Tech as well, Georgia fans. All right. Yes, I do done at Georgia, but I do done at Georgia Tech too. All right. My dad definitely a Georgia Tech fan. I bought him Georgia Tech slippers, all that type of stuff. So we do support Georgia Tech over here too.
I support a little bit. My cousin went
there. But back to what I was saying, I forgot what I was going to say, but I think should the Washington Commanders hire Ben Johnson. I don't think it's a wise choice as far as the head coach position, but being that you got a guy like Airbnb there, if he stays, he can kind of tutor him, take him under his wing. I think the best bet for Airbnb is to take him under his wing if he wants to be taken seriously as a head coach. And as he has to do this, like he has to clean up his image, because he does not have a good image in regards to how the NFL landscape, executives, former players, even coaches see him. He's just not a very popular guy. So if he wants to be taken seriously, he would take Ben Johnson under his wing, tutor him, make sure he knows everything about the head coaches, what he needs, what he doesn't, and he needs to know how to structure offense. A guy like Andy Reid is who he learned from. He got to show him all the ropes, man. So if he wants to be taken seriously, and this is me being 100% honest about Eric Bieniemy, because I do think he has neglected his position. I think that's the true essence of what he's neglected, that the fact that he's a running back. That's the biggest thing. You're not even true to yourself as a coach. No, you're a running back and you don't have a problem throwing the ball 50 times a game. Like,
that's a problem.
That's a major problem. So if he wants to be taken seriously, man, he got to get back to the root of things. And I think if he wants to, that's the way he's going to have to be a mentor. That, like, he got to be that. But like I said, man, I think it'll be a good deal if they take Ben Johnson for them, because I like that organization is a piece of freaking crap. All right. And nobody's going to go there. And Ben Johnson made a statement earlier during the mid of the season, his name was coming up, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but the thing with him, he said, if you want my services, you're going to have to pay me somewhere between $15 million a year as a offensive coordinator. So this dude wants to get paid. That's what he's thinking about. He want to get paid. So I know Washington Commanders are definitely going to be able, they're going to give him the bag in this.
I got something to say right now about Ben Johnson and Falcons fans. People going to be upset. He's going to go to Washington and be the head coach. A lot of people didn't even know who the hell Ben Johnson was several weeks ago. That's the funny thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody talking about it. Everybody was clowning. Before this year even started, everybody was clowning the Detroit Lions. Because they thought that, oh, they bad a bad hire with Dan Campbell. And I've said this, when they hired him, I'm like, they got them a good coach. Like, they may end up making some noise up there in the NFC. I said this a few years ago. I said it. And I'm like, I don't know much about Arthur Smith outside of, yeah, you had Derrick Henry in Tennessee. But everywhere Dan Campbell's went, he got production. Whatever he was, the tight ends position coach or whatever the case may be, in Miami or New Orleans. But remember, he was a Saint. He was with the Saints. And, you know, they had Jimmy Graham and all those guys. Like, who you think developed Jimmy Graham? was Dan Campbell. I don't really give my praises to the Saints like that, but just saying,
because the thing about it is going with that kind of situation right there, kind of getting back to the Harbaugh thing, is he essentially is going to a team where they really doesn't have to do too much as far as turning over the roster. Plug and play, like you said. You just got a quarterback who is now the highest paid quarterback in this league. So you stuck with that motherfucker. So you better do something with that. They got about 9,000 receivers over there that they done drafted in the first round. Still got, they have a more established thing with the Chargers right now, more so than where the Falcons were going. So he wasn't going to take that chance down here. And going off of Ben Johnson,
they just got to fix up their defense and their offensive line. That's pretty much it.
Right. And then when you talk about Ben Johnson, it's the one thing you have to think about with Ben Johnson too is he got there when Jared Goff got there. Jared Goff had a rookie. So there's that risk and stuff as well. And plus, like you said, Washington is going through a whole nother thing as well. They got to shore up the offensive line. They defense sucks. that defense is god awful.
Yeah, it is.
They drafted all them damn corners and they look like the Atlanta Falcons from 2020. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, Ron Rivera is your head coach and Jack Del Rio, your defense coordinator, and you damn near in the bottom tier as far as defense. How? Houseway.
Why? So, hey, man, I just got one word to say for everybody that's kind of upset and kind of throwing eulogies about this. Mike, do you mind if I sing it to him? If I say it to him?
Go ahead, sir.
You did it to yourself. This is what we talk about when you put all your eggs in a basket emotionally, and when the stuff don't go the way that you wanted to go. Now we singing Boys to Men End of the Road on online and shit, and we ain't even found a head coach yet. Just like Juan said in the chat. Surprise, surprise. But like you said, man, it's just going to really lead to the next topic is pretty much where the Falcons go from here. Like you said, the two most popular names that everybody thought that they were going to get are off the table. Where do they go from here? Is it a guarantee that it's Bill Belichick? We're hearing Mike Vrabel's name kind of popping up here recently, the last couple of days. Uh-huh. Or is it still a dark horse name we still haven't figured out yet?
Let me rephrase your question. Where do the Falcons go for here? It's about what the hell does Rich McKay trying to do? What is his agenda that he's trying to push?
And do tell.
And Greg Beatles, like, what are you trying to do, sir?
Well, should I?
You go.
Should I bring it out, Kev?
Shout out the Bubble Got Beats for the $10 for the $10 donation. I was gonna say super chat, but he ain't say nothing, so I was just saying $10. Definitely appreciate that, man.
Right. Yeah, appreciate it.
If you have a question, we'll answer it, man. We got you.
Mm-hmm.
So
I actually did a thorough investigation in regards to Rich McKay, and what we're finding is that quite a few of Atlanta Falcons head coaching hires, and this is extremely alarming for us personally, is because I don't necessarily want to give, well, I'm not going to get that person out, our source. But he kind of alluded to the fact that that this guy, when you talk about nepotism at its finest, he's that. And when I get that information from a person that is, you know, connected in many ways, I take that information to heart. And I take what they say, and then I look for clues. So what I found is that what we found was Atlanta Falcons head coach is going all the way to Mike Smith. Almost all of those guys have been first time head coaches. Not a single guy had experience as a head coach.
You can go back to Jim Moore Jr. and Bobby Petrino.
I will say Jim Moore Jr. was the first person that under the Arthur Blank era that was his head coach. He was a first time young head coach.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
The last experienced head coach the Falcons have ever hired was Dan Reeves. Think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Now, we ain't even talking about 98. That was back in
97 was Dan Reeves' first year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we're going to get everybody takes as far as what you personally believe as far as that. But like I said, And one thing that I heard Arthur Blank say in the press conference is that he said in previous years we use a hiring firm to search for these particular head coaches. Well, we actually followed the trail there. And what we've come up with is a guy named Jed Hughes. Jed Hughes is a guy, no pun intended, done that hired guys like Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, and
Tony Dungy, Bill Cowher, those guys. Raheem Morris
is another one of those guys. And this guy has been used, they've used this hiring firm. And this guy, he doesn't have a necessarily a good record as far as general managers that he recommends and head coaches that he doesn't have a good record. Although he has had guys like a Jim Harbaugh, a couple other Hall of Fame players, but his record is not very good when it comes down to his recommendations. But for whatever reason, he's extremely popular, and guys like Rich McKay go to him to hire these guys. And then we're gonna get you after I say this one last thing. So with that being said, Don, the question that I have is, do you personally believe that the thing there's a scene in Lord of the Rings, and the king is sitting on his throne, and this is his guy called Wormtongue, and he's whispering in his ear, and we're trying to figure out what is he whispering in his ear. If you guys ever seen Lord of the Rings, just look up Wormtongue and the Return of the Kings. And me personally, that's how I feel that Rich McKay is what he's doing with a guy like Arthur Blank, because Arthur Blank is not a football guy. So he trusts this guy and to make the right recommendations. And there hasn't been a great record in regards to his recommendations. It's been pitiful. It's been god awful. Had we went to a Super Bowl, we went to one Super Bowl under his recommendations.
Yeah.
So again, Don, what do you think personally on this situation?
I wanted to add something to that. Jed Hughes. Remember Rich McKay? He was the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 90s and early 2000s. Remember when they had Steve Weich as a head coach in the early 90s and they fired him on NFL films? It's out there for you guys to watch too. They said, hey, bring your playbook. And they thought they was getting Jimmy Johnson. However, they didn't hire Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson went to Miami. They hired a guy named Tony Dungy. He was in Minnesota for a few years, but before that, he worked in Kansas City under the late Marty Schottenheimer. This Jed Hughes has a huge, he had a relationship with Marty Schottenheimer. Now, who hired this guy? We just said, who hired Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay? Rich McKay. All right. And Rich McKay also helped build, you know, build their stadium and build their team that they had that went to the Super Bowl. And on that staff, who was on that staff, that defensive staff that won the Super Bowl that Tony Dungy brought in, but Tony Dungy left there when he went to Indianapolis? That guy's name was Raheem Morris. See, like, how we connected everything when we did our investigation today? Because this Jed Hughes guy, like, he get used all the time. Anytime we have a vacancy, we bring him in. We brought him in when we needed Mike Smith, when we hired Mike Smith. We brought him in when we hired Dan Quinn. We brought him in the last time we hired Arthur Smith. Like, we, like, and that's the thing about Rich McKay. Like, you literally, I feel like you're in the way of us being great.
So, Jude, before we get you and Kel take, and goddamn, I forgot what. Oh, no, I did though. I just had a K Styles moment. I forgot what I was saying in the moment. So do you feel like personally, when you look at Rich McKay, do you believe that this guy is putting his feelings over the team itself?
So you guys know I did a video yesterday with all of the, you know, the rumors that are out there. Personally, I don't think that Rich McKay is like sabotaging the Falcons in any way. I really think that he's trying to do his best to help this Falcons team get to a Super Bowl, because I really genuinely think him and Arthur Blank are friends. But I feel like at some point you got to draw the line somewhere. That's what my issue is with it. And that's why I talked about, you know, what they always talk about doing business with family. You got to be careful with doing business with close friends, doing business with family, because that's your family. At the end of the day, or your close friend, you don't want that to come between your friendship or your family or blood or whatever. So it's hard sometimes to make the hard decision. So my thing when I made my video was like, if Bill Belichick is who Arthur Blank wants, this is Arthur Blank's team. One thing, I can't stand Jerry Jones, but one thing I can say about Jerry Jones, he gonna do what he wanna do with his team. With the Dallas Cowboys, everybody know who's running that show. I feel like here in Atlanta, I understand Arthur Blank, you know, he's not a football guy. So I can respect him having, you know, Rich McKay right there, a guy who knows football, you know, who's been in the football operations. But I really feel like he needs someone else, a group. And that's why I said in my video, it has to be collaborative. So I feel like if you want Bill Belichick, go out and get him. Because at this point, Arthur Blank is 82,
81, 82. Make a decision.
So I'm like, pull the trigger. If that's your guy, that's the big fish you going out for, you know that he's won Super Bowls. You know that he's a great coach. Go out there and get him. If it's going to get in the way of you and Rich McKay's friendship, tell Rich McKay, hey, look, you know, I still be cool. You're my friend. But at the end of the day, I got to make this move because I feel like this is the right move. Mike, me and Mike don't always agree. Me and K-Styles don't always agree. Me and Don don't always have the same opinion or the same feelings. But we should be able to come together as men and say, look, this is how I feel about the situation. And you can respect the other person's opinion. Because what's the worst that can happen? Bill Belichick comes here for the next 3 to 4 years and he fails. So what? At least you tried. But if you don't give it a try, in the back of Arthur Blank's mind, he's going to have to think about, dang, I could have had Bill Belichick, but I didn't want to pull the trigger because of Rick McKay, or I didn't want to come between our friendship. When I feel like if he's a real friend, 20 years of friendship, he should still be there, even if he decides to go with Bill Belichick. And personally, I feel like if you bring in Bill, you have to allow him to bring the right structure to this Falcons team. You can't hire him, just like Bill Parcells said years ago. You can't expect me to cook the meal and don't help me, let me shop for the groceries. You gotta allow me to have put my fingerprints. And I said this originally, is let Bill Belichick put his fingerprints on this team. If you allow him to come in here, you kind of got to turn the reins over to him in certain aspects. You can't say come here and work with these players. And that's the problem I feel with Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. It's like he has his fingerprints all over the team, but he's not a coach. It's like what you guys are saying. He's not really a football guy. And that's my thing. I really feel like in this instance, I feel like Bill's been the guy. I keep saying he's going to be the next head coach. Personally, I listen to what Arthur Blank and things that they say. They said it during the league that they did. We really don't want a first-time head coach because we've done that previously. We want somebody with head coach experience. So out of the guys that we've interviewed so far, who's had head coach experience other than Raheem Morris, Bill Belichick? Now they just interviewed Vrabel. But I'm like, are you really going to bring in Vrabel when you just had Arthur Smith here? He's come from that kind of similar. He was just here from Tennessee. Are you really going to go after Vrabel? And really, Vrabel was a disciple of who? Bill Belichick. So how much sense does that make? You can have me, but you're going to say, nah, I'm going to hire EJ. I'm going to hire Juice Sun. It don't
even matter. Like, you choose a Dollar Tree steaks over Ruth Chris steaks.
Come on. Man. Yeah,
it don't make sense. I can have Coca-Cola, but I'm going to get
Faygo.
The light version.
Cola.
Just cola. Yeah, it
doesn't exist to me, man. So at the end of the day, y'all heard my heart is I was like, Bill gonna wanna want power. I knew right away when this stuff started coming out, I said, Bill's gonna wanna do it his way. And to be honest, if I'm coming there with six rings on my finger, you ain't finna tell me nothing. I'm just being honest. When LeBron went to the Lakers, he brought them rings. Like, look, I got rings. I'm going to show y'all how to get back to the promised land. Bill coming in with these rings, even if I don't like the man, I got to respect them rings. Them players, when he shine them rings up and put that box down and open it up, and you see them six rings sitting there, you can't say nothing. What can you say?
I'm to the point now. Bill can come in now and say, I don't want any rap music played at the Falcons games. Look, I'm all, look. Go ahead. I don't give a damn.
That ain't the culture.
I want to see a Super Bowl in my lifetime before I die. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about when it come with Arthur Blank. He said he really want to win a Super Bowl. Everybody always talking about he really doesn't want to win. The fans that are saying that. Well, Bill Belichick's name being thrown in and that. His name was the first name that I kept hearing. And I was like, based off of what they said in the interview, people got to read between the lines. Bill Belichick is who he wants. So I'm like, if that's who you want, don't let hell or high water stop you from getting them. Just like they held Harbaugh hostage, I would be holding Bill Belichick hostage. You're not leaving Atlanta without contract. When they was on that yacht or wherever they was at, he should have held that man hostage till he signed on the dotted line. And really, to be honest with you guys, I feel like they have a handshake deal in the background. And that's just being honest with you guys. I've been saying that from the get-go. It's like, you got to understand the NFL is a protocol. You still got to interview, you know, minority head coaches because of the Rooney Rule. So all of these candidates, do you really believe all 14 of these guys got a chance to get a job? I don't really believe that. I really feel like they're doing their due diligence to shut up the dumb fans that's going to say, they didn't even do anything. They just went and got Bill. So to cover that up, they're going to say, we're going to interview everybody we can interview so we can say we did our due diligence. But in the background, they know who they really, really want. Now, it's up to Bill to tell us because he's the winner in this. You know, he's really interviewing us. It's his decision. He could tell us, I don't want to come there. I'm just being real because we're trying to sell ourselves to him. He don't really have to sell nothing to us because he's a winner already. He's going straight into the Hall of Fame. So at this point, we're trying to prove to him, what can we do for you, Bill, to make this the most comfortable position where you feel like you can come in here
and I got a question. I got a question for Kev. So, Kev, damn, I don't took over the damn host of the show. My bad, Kev. But so the question I have for you, Kev, is do you think it's important right now for Arthur Blank to assert himself as the owner, as the guy of this? Because there's a there's a feeling that Rich McKay is the one that's really running the team. So if he wants to like be respected as a Jerry Jones, so to speak, a Robert Kraft, like, is he going to have to assert himself as the owner? As far as the image is concerned,
yeah, I mean, right now you're at a juncture with this team and his point in his life now where he's looking to pad and like you said, Juan, Mike, we all had this conversation before the show and earlier today. He's thinking about the legacy part of this franchise, and you're at a crossroads right now because you're literally going with your third head coach in damn near 5 years. So the stability of this franchise is not there right now. Now, I had to go back and I had to look at that presser with Arthur Blank and Rich McKay. I want to ask everybody a question. Did it kind of look like Arthur Blank wanted to slap the shit out of him?
Boy, you know what?
Yes!
Damn.
Dude, am I right? Did it look like
who said that? Somebody said, I think it was Sam who said that.
Sam said it. But I had to go back and look at it today.
I said it in the voice record.
Yeah.
Like, Arthur Blank looked like he wanted to goddamn put some concrete shoes on his ass, throw his ass in Lake Lanier.
He did.
I'm asking everybody in the chat, did it look like Arthur Blank wanted to slap the shit out of Rich McKay?
It was almost like, boy, sir. Rich, I got this.
See, Jew made a point about friends, families, and working. 48 Law of Power says easier to work with your enemy than it is to work with your blood.
Yep.
There's a reason. And my conspiracy theory brain here made me think about something different. What if the reason why Terry Fontenot wasn't at that press was because he was talking to Bill Belichick? You have to remember. Mm-hmm. You have to remember. Before Terry Fontenot got here, the Falcons were in the worst state, cap wise and team building wise, that the NFL has ever seen.
News breaking, y'all. News breaking. They just interviewed Mike Vrabel. The interview just ended.
Okay.
K-Style, who's been sitting next to him in that press box all season long?
All season long, it's been Terry Fontenot hand in hand with Arthur Blank. Mm-hmm. Let me tell y'all something. For everybody that may be thinking that Terry Fontenot may get the shit into the strong with Bill Belichick, there is a possibility that Arthur Blank may be looking at Terry Fontenot to succeed Rich McKay.
Another thing too, let me add that to you. Remember Kyle Smith? Kyle Smith got a promotion. Mm-hmm. He got a promotion. He moved up.
You got Ryan Pace on the staff too as a coach. Mm-hmm. So if you want to elevate Terry Fontenot, it's easy to do that. Like, elevate him, you got who is going to be Pace? Or is it going to be Smith? Keith Smith. Like, you know, but I see that relationship with Rich McKay and Arthur Blank. I see that as Arthur Blank as Vince McMahon and Rich McKay as John Laurinaitis.
You're fire.
I see it like that, though, because you have somebody that's calling the shots and they not making they're not making moves what's best for business. They're not.
Because my problem with it, it's not.
Like, I get it. Rich McKay, he did help build his palace, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, but we got that now. So at the end of the day, you know, you got to tell your homeboy, look, man, like what Juice said, look, man, I got to run my, this is my business, this is my team. I got to make sure I put butts in these seats, and I got to guarantee this city a championship. And I want to see a damn Super Bowl fly die. I'm 83 years old. You know, like, it's okay to tell your homeboy to step to the side a little bit. Look, man, Mike, that's my brother right there. Look, we know last year, I told him, hey, man, I can't mess with you no more, man, for a while. But look, we ended up.
He sure did.
But we ended up, you know, getting back, you know, working together again. Mm-hmm.
He sure did.
Right, and all I wanted to add to it.
A bad decision, but, you know.
No, but that, you had to do that as a man, and these are the things that we're talking about. You have to make decisions as a man where you deem it's best for you at that moment.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to add to what both of you guys are saying is you should have a pool of people you're talking to. You shouldn't be talking to one person. If it's just one person you talking to, that's the problem. That's what makes this show great. We all giving our input, but we all bring something different to the table. And I think that's the biggest issue. It's like, he's only listening to Rich McKay. That's the problem. Because basically, as I mentioned, Rich McKay is running this team. That's why every time I do a video, I say, he the CEO, president, GM. Like, no, it's the reason why you got Kyle Smith. It's the reason why you got Terry Fontenot. You should be using all of these guys. Y'all all should be sitting in the boardroom, and Arthur Blank, who really is the judge, jury, and executioner, he should be making the decision, say, I want to hear from you, Terry. What do you feel about this? I want to hear from you, Kyle Smith. Tell me what you feel about this and give me your reasons why you feel like this is a good candidate. Okay, I want to hear from you, Rich McKay. It shouldn't be, I'm just hearing football operations from Rich McKay's point of view. Because if you're only hearing it from one side, that's where the issue, where my issue comes in. Because at this point, it's like Rich McKay is the owner because he's making the final decisions. And he's basically, he has the most influence on Arthur Blank. That's my issue with it. You need a pool of people that you should be, you know, getting that information from.
And think about it like this. All hell broke loose for this regime. For everybody in this regime, coaches included. Do anybody know when the breaking point was? Do anybody have an idea where this breaking point came into fruition at?
I think it was a few years back, personally.
It was a few years back. Okay, like I said, because I know they kind of had little rumblings before because Arthur Blank wanted Rex Ryan instead of Dan Quinn. So that's the border under the bridge.
I know when it happened. I know, because remember we had Thomas Dimitrov as our GM, but we brought in Scott Pioli. And I think that's where the divide, you start seeing cracks in the concrete at that point. When Pioli left, because remember, Pioli was the one that wanted to draft Chris Lindstrom, but we know we knew Thomas Dimitrov wanted to go a different direction to draft probably another fucking receiver.
You just made me realize something.
But look, hold on. Damn it, Don. But yeah, but like, and also, not Rich McKay, but Thomas Dimitrov, he brought back that god awful.
Dirt
cutter.
Oh, Lord, Jesus.
My head hurt just from bringing all that stuff up. I hate bringing up traumatic stuff.
You just solved a long time problem and didn't realize you just did it.
Man, you already know I know.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you. That's why they drafted Tad McKinley in 2017. Who was tied to Tad McKinley? Jim Moore Jr.
Yeah.
He got it.
Whoa.
Y'all remember in the press conference, he specifically said a guy. Rich McKay didn't want to say his name. But Arthur Blank said, no, we gonna say his damn name, and then looked at him and said, who he's referring to is Bobby Petrino. So Arthur has already lost faith in him. Again, I think he's just trying to be a gentleman about it. He's trying to be a businessman about it and say, look, bro, we're going to go out gracefully, okay? I'm not going to embarrass you, but you done fucked up. That's the way I see it. So if we get an experienced head coach this time, this is all Arthur Blank. Arthur is top. Like, the more that I look at it, and like I said, this is the source. That person knows exactly what he's talking about. He's been telling me this for years. This is not the first time that I heard this about Richmond Kate, and I know personally, you know, a few interviews that we've done that certain players do not, and I'm being nice when I say that, they do not like Richmond Kate.
But yeah. the straw that
damn, broke, but you just made me so.
The straw that broke the camel's back was the Bijan Robinson thing in Tampa Bay. That's what broke it, because you remember Rich McKay is the head of the competition committee. What happened to the Atlanta Falcons after that Bijan Robinson guy?
You got fired.
He got fired.
So that's where that
how you gonna be heading the committee and still find us? Like, come on, make it make sense. Like, that's the bull I'll be talking about.
You supposed to be my friend. You supposed to be helping me not get fined, and you finding it.
Over a headache. Oh, and in a game that the dude played 13 snaps in.
He played. That's the crazy part.
On the field. He had a couple of plays. I think he had one play that was targeted to him, and I think he dropped the pass.
Right.
But whatever.
But essentially what I'm saying here is only reason I'm saying this is the job that I work at now used to be owned by a dude that was associated with Arthur Blank. I don't know if y'all remember Kaufman Ties and stuff like that, how that used to be around. That's where I work at. Well, it ain't that no more after he sold the company. But those two are kind of like two peas in a pod, because they're the type of guys that are hands off on stuff. But when the shit hits the fan, then all of a sudden, this is where you're going to see it. So right now, with the Falcons situation, is the shit done hit the fan. Arthur Blank wants Belichick here because he's looking at him as being the guy that can get it done now.
I ain't got no more time. I see my mortality. Get it done.
Right.
Ain't got time. I ain't got time for none of this.
I done seen two World Series. I done seen two national championships in my time. Like, damn, can I please see a Super Bowl?
Yeah. And it's like you said, man. And the one thing about guys like that, they keep around people that helps them save money. That's what billionaires do. They don't give a damn about people that make money. They care about people that save money.
That can keep them out of the tabloid so they can keep their money.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said, do not be surprised if you see Terry Fontenot in a brand new position within the next couple years, because Arthur Blank's son is coming up here soon, and he's passing all his estate to his son.
He's very ruthless, by the way, too. So he ain't with that nice stuff.
Well, hell no. Nah. His son will throw you off. He will throw you off the top of the dome. To get what you want.
We've been saying that he's preparing for that for years. That's why I say it, man. Like, it's a lot of stuff that you're not going to get elsewhere, and this is why you need to be subscribed to the Heavy Hitters, Drew Talk Sports, The Dunn Favor, Six Man K Style, Mad Mike Sports. Like, we do our thorough investigation. People probably don't know who the hell Jed Hughes is, and now y'all gonna be doing y'all homework, trying to look at what and why he's always in the middle of things.
Jed Hughes is a football guy. He's been around the football game for years.
Mm-hmm. He's been around since the early 70s.
So
around 50 years.
So I'm about to say, y'all go ahead and start throwing your questions in now. I think we done said so much information. I don't think anybody got
no questions.
Right. But Freddie here said, why is 92-9 the game so against Bill Belichick? Because Bill Belichick is not going
to be. You got this. I can do jumping at the bit. Go ahead, Jew.
I said it after the show last week when we was in the back. Like, I'm just interested to see these press conferences. Because we know Bill Belichick in these press conferences, he's going to give this Atlanta media exactly what they deserve. I'm just being honest. All of that hell they gave Arthur Smith, Bill Belichick is not going to give you that bulletin board material that you want. He does it his way. And I really feel like that's the reason why 92-9 the game. And a lot of these, you know, fans that are against it, they're looking at, okay, well, he hadn't done anything without Tom Brady. He hasn't done anything. But what we're not understanding is all rosters are not created equal. All situations are not created equal. So at this point, it's like you bringing him here to Atlanta. But as I mentioned, I'm not worried about Bill messing up the offense. The players are already drafted. You have Kyle Pitts. You have, you know, Bijan Robinson. You have Drake London. All you really have to do is drop a quarterback on this team on the offensive side. Let Bill do his thing on the defense. And let him manage the team. You know, we know that Bill is an excellent CEO. Yes, he might not be buddy-buddy, but he got the job done. So at the end of the day, as much as I was saying, you know, I don't know how he's going to vibe with these young players, I just want to see a Super Bowl as well. And he's the only proven guy. Who are you going to get? It's always like we talk about these quarterbacks. We used to say this with Matt Ryan. Okay, look at the pool of guys that are left. Who are you going to get that's proven, that's won a Super Bowl? Vrabel ain't got one. Ben Johnson ain't got one yet. All these guys will be throwing out. Raheem Morris, he got one as a coordinator. But who's been a
head coach? He's already built, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, who's a head coach that we've interviewed that has a ring as a head coach? Nobody. Other than Bill Belichick, is not one out there. So to me, Bill Belichick's the most qualified. We always talk about how the most qualified guy. Bill Belichick is that guy. Whether you like him or not, whether you feel like he fits the culture or fits in your mind of, oh, this is what I want my coach to look like. I just want somebody in here that's qualified, that knows what they're doing. Because the guys that we've had in the past, it was a crapshoot. Arthur Smith was a crapshoot. We didn't know. We know what we're getting with Bill Belichick. He's established. That's why I say, if you drop him with all of this talent and let him do his thing, I really feel like he's going to have success. And if he doesn't, I'm willing to take that risk because he has the resume. When I say look at the resume, the man has the resume. The man is going to walk into the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. He's almost the most winningest head coach. He need to have, I think they said, 3 winning seasons and he'll be, or 3 9-8 seasons and he'll be the most winningest coach.
So he needs, I think, 15 wins.
Okay. So yeah. So he's right there, man. Like at the end of the day,
when I'm good. 7-10 in 2 seasons. Like, yeah, get there. He used to get that in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with him.
He's not retiring until he gets. Oh, Lord. That man look like. He look like he done stole your lunch and sold it back to you. That's what he look like.
Dude look like Regis Philbin and
he is so wrong. That's Jed Hughes, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is
Giuliani combined.
Yeah, he do look like Giuliani. Take that picture down. I don't even like that. I got so many Rudy Giuliani vibes from that dude.
Somebody really just said we need to interview Pete Carmichael. Man, I'm done with y'all.
Yes, y'all too. No.
Sorry, don't you start your mess. Please don't start. We don't need that juju up here. Okay, thank you, ma'am.
He was having a good conversation.
And we sitting here and we explaining to the people the hell, Jed.
I know, son.
But it's like I don't know. And then Pete caught it.
That was funny.
Anyway, back to the question.
I thought Eric Bieniemy was just a bad Pete Carmichael. We might as well bring Arthur Smith back.
Just say, hey,
why you fire him if you gonna bring my God?
I'm like, you better off could have stayed with Arthur Smith.
You can stay with them.
My head hurt. I'm ready. And this show go to bed. I'm about to take a lot of ibuprofen and Tylenol combined.
Keith Carmichael, you really doing that?
I'm gonna need some intensive therapy after that.
Oh my! Wow!
He said, "Yep, that's Jim from UCLA." Now the tack draft makes too much sense.
Yep. Look, everything's connected. Everything's connected.
Woo, boy! It made so much sense there. Oh wow! A lot of this stuff makes too much sense now. Good God!
And the Marlon Davidson pick too. Back in 2020, because he has ties with.
Nah, I need to see something.
Tuberville, right?
What you say?
No, you said he had ties with Marlon Davidson too.
Yeah.
Oh wow! So Stanford, Michigan, UCLA, Minnesota. Oh wow.
Say them schools again one more time. Same schools.
Stanford, Michigan, and UCLA.
Stanford, let's look at it. Stanford, Drew Dahlman. Michigan, we drafted Jalen Mayfield.
Stanford, you had Austin Hooper, Levine Toilolo, Drew Dahlman. It was a couple safeties in there, too.
Yeah, it was, too. I keep forgetting their names. We had drafted some linemen back in the late 2000s for Stanford as well, I think. We really didn't have that many players from Michigan, though. Like, I can tell you that. I remember, you know, during that era, this era with Rich McKay, we had Jay Philly as our kicker. You know. But.
Look.
Jalen Mayfield.
Hold up. What college did Mr. Poles safety? What school did he go to?
Who?
The Cow. You talking about the Coup? They Coup?
Yeah.
He went to Cal.
But Stanford and Cal is literally right by each other.
Right.
They're right by each other. It's in Silicon Valley. Like, it's right by each other.
This is just making two. It's so okay. Many. Wow.
My head started hurting. At the end of the day, God damn it. We need to find out what the hell's gonna happen, because if we don't find out,
Aaron Talbert, yeah, DeAndre Campbell. Jesus, y'all got me playing up here.
And I looked at, you know, I did my research.
Wow.
Some of these scouters that we have, these national scouters, these regional scouters, they were recommended by your boy Jed Hughes. Oh man, on that note,
they have Rasheed Hageman too.
Yeah, Rasheed Hageman came from Minnesota. There's a lot of players we had came from Minnesota.
On that note, at the end of the day, what we're saying here is in order for this team to get out of the chaotic nature that they're in right now, Arthur Blank is going to have to take a stand here. If he got something that he wants, God damn it, you better take it.
They need to stop.
Stop bullshitting around and get your guy. If it's Bill Belichick, that's your guy. Okay, let's make that decision. If Rich McKay got a problem with it, fuck him. You could toss his bags outside the stadium.
Send his ass back to Tampa Bay. Shit, that's all I get.
He can go over there and be the AD for Georgia State or something.
This right here from John too. He what we're saying too, Kev, is they're relying on relationships rather than actually their own particular skill set.
Yeah, it's not that's about what they know, it's who you know. It's about who you know,
right?
It's not about what you can bring to the table. It's about who you know at the table.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're trusting in football guys instead of using their own intuition. Sometimes your own best intuition is the best for you. When you start trying to get, it's cool to have everybody's input, but if you're gonna build a scouting team, trust your scouting team. They're not trusting their scouting team. They're trusting guys that been in the league for 40, 50 years, who's been there, but they don't necessarily have the best interests at heart. They're relying on their relationships with other people to bring in players, and sometimes that's not the way to go. You need a board of guys, and that's just how AFN is run. This is what you were talking about. We don't always have the same tape. We sit here for sometimes 30 minutes after the show going over our thoughts. It's like, all right, you said this, I like this, and I like that, and I don't like this. We do this every day. It's a board of us that do. And I think this has been one of those cases where they're looking at the senior advisor to advise them, and that senior advisor don't care about the damn board.
That part. That's why he says that Terry Fontenot, he comes to me, he brings everything to me, but is he really taking back the information?
Mm-hmm.
He reiterating that to Arthur Blank in his own version. Like, this is what I feel, this is what I was told, but then I'm gonna go and change it to fit what I want to do. So it's like, I feel like he should be, go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, go ahead. I'll get right up.
Nah, you good, bro. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like I said, man, I feel like they should be going straight to the horse's mouth. It shouldn't be everybody answer to Rich McKay and then Rich McKay goes to Arthur Blank. It should be a board of directors. All of them guys should be able to go right to Arthur Blank and say, this is what I feel like we should be doing. And then Arthur Blank makes the final decision. Because at the end of the day, it's his team. He makes it. If you don't like it, like y'all said, there's the door. This is Arthur Blank's team. At the end of the day, this man won a Super Bowl. And if Bill Belichick is who he want, then that's who he should get, period. He shouldn't even have to explain himself. It's his team. I don't care who. That's why that's my issue. You don't have to explain yourself to nobody. Rich McKay, whoever, you the owner. You tell him, this is who I want. Go out and get it. Make it happen. Gas up the jet and go get him, period.
So the news as far as the Chargers is concerned, they will bring in Ravens director of player personnel Jor Ortiz for a second in-person interview. Yeah.
Remember I was talking about this man a few years ago?
Yeah. that's why I had to read it.
Boy, I had him a team, bro. Damn. Man, that's the GM I wanted the Falcons to get.
And Brandon Brown as an assistant.
97.
Yeah.
He built that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Two Super Bowls. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Jim.
They hire guys who actually done it. Guys who can maybe shoulda, woulda, coulda. No, they hiring guys that get the job done. And this is what you are referring to. Look, if you feel like Bill Belichick is your guy, man up. Man up. Hire him. The hell with everybody else. I feel like this is the way it is. If you really are the owner, look, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay. It's like, look, sometimes K-Style got to say, look, this is my damn show, Mike. Shut the hell up right now. Y'all don't see this. Mike, calm your ass the fuck down. He done said it live shows. Sometimes it's your show. Jew's like, no, I'm doing my show today. And then, look, give me this time and give me this. I got something to say. And we let Jew do his thing. We sit back and be quiet. Sometimes that's what you got to do as a man. And this is what we asked Arthur Blank. If you want whomever, make that decision and stand down on it.
Stand on
business.
That's it. Everybody else, sit back. I got this. Sit back.
Right.
Like,
I got this.
Man, ain't nobody try to interview Ortiz ever. And I was like, man, this man got a good record. Why ain't nobody interviewing this man as general manager? I had a whole show on this man back in 2020. And now he's going to the Chargers. But like I said, man, that's Jim making moves with his brother and stuff, man. And I can't be mad about it because you hire somebody that got connections. That's what you're supposed to do. Good connections. Not somebody that you know, but somebody that you know that's going to get the damn job done.
I'm sorry we had, but this is why we got to give y'all
now that I think about it. The revolution that they tried to push to the NFL to be the new passing league was right around 2013. That was after the first 6 years of the Atlanta Falcons where we looked like we had promise. Then they changed the philosophy. And it went to shit until it got back to that philosophy.
Yep.
They went right back to the philosophy that got them messed up in the first place. You know what? Yeah, we're going to end this show because I'm starting to get a headache.
But this is why y'all got to hit that subscribe button on all of our channels. We do thorough, in-depth research. We don't play around. Y'all know y'all not going to get this elsewhere. You know you're not going to get this anywhere else. So why not show us that love? Show us some love and hit that subscribe button. You ain't got to agree with everything. Hell, I don't agree with everything. But like I said, show us some love. Y'all really want to continue to get knowledge like this and information like this? Hit that subscribe button on every last one of our channels, all right?
Remember, this is Rich McKay's boy right here.
Wow.
Somebody just asked the question, who fired Dan Reeves? Remember, Dan Reeves was hired right before we fired him. Rich McKay was hired right before we fired Dan Reeves. So, oh man, yo. That's good. It's the end of the show.
And Michael Vick, and at that point in time, Michael Vick actually was on the rise. And they goddamn brought in Jim Moore Jr. and everything went to shit. Goddamn, we ending the show.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Like I said, we do a thorough investigation over here, bro. Like, look, we like the sports reporter. Y'all remember the sports reporters on ESPN? We the sports reporters over here.
So hold on. Let me end it off like this. Let me say it like this. So you're telling me that Michael Vick, I'm throwing Michael Vick in here, who in 2002 was going up a rise to being a better quarterback, am I correct? Jay Hughes fired Dan Reeves, who was the guy that brought the best out of him, to bring in Jim Moore Jr., who he has an affiliation with at UCLA.
Yep.
And brought in the run nigga run offense. You know what? We done. We done.
Wow.
All right. We appreciate y'all, man. Like I said, I'm
share this video with your friends. I'm telling y'all, please share this because they gonna be blown away by the things that we found.
Look. Think about it like
this. Take some aspirin and have some drink. Look, have something to drink before they listen to the whole show because they're going to need it.
Think about it. Michael Vick as a quarterback never progressed once Jim Moore Jr. got there. UCLA? Yeah. Money.
Their money goes to the penny track. And I know how commission works. Yep. You get commission when you find a top prospect. I'm just going to say that.
Yep.
So,
Ask these boosters at Auburn and Alabama and Georgia. You get commission when you find talent and you recommend talent. Believe me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You looking at millions. So basically, Jay Hughes is to blame for Michael Vitt not progressing as a quarterback in Atlanta. Because they got rid of the coach that gave that put the accountability on him to stay in the game.
That part.
All right, y'all, man. Until next time, people. We ain't here to play.
Oh no.
We here to stay.
Oh yeah, dig it.
We ain't gotta go. You ain't gotta go home.
But we got to get Jed Hughes the fuck up out of here.
Oh boy.
I need an aspirin. Hold on.
Sorry, y'all.
Where the bleach
at?
Hold on. Hold on. I think some fuel ingest and clean will be good to drink right now. Deuces, y'all.
Oh, please don't.